Today, Coleman Domingo is my guest host, and we are saying Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And guess what? Coleman is the co-host, along with somebody else very fabulous we'll tell you about, for Logo Television's New Next Now award ceremony. And Richard Knight Jr. is taking us to the new film with Bette Midler and Helen Hunt. They somehow are related. I don't get it, but it's happening, and he's telling us about the film. Plus, how's your life going? Maybe you need a coach. Not really Dr. Phil, because she's a lesbian, and also because she's going to make you get your butt in gear and tell you how to have your best life. Courtney Parks, life coach, on the show as well. Wow, we bring you so much.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 207. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Coleman Domingo, live from New York City.
Yes, you are. And we want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers.
Happy Mother's Day to every mother out there.
Aw, it's so amazing. I love Mother's Day. Do you like Mother's Day? Is your mother alive?
My mom is not alive, so I'm kind of a little ambivalent about Mother's Day.
Yeah?
You know, just a little bit, yeah. I lost my mother about 2 years ago, and she's my best friend, and we're very close. And so, but I've started a new tradition, actually started last year, where for Mother's Day, instead of, you know, feeling like I didn't know what to feel, because everyone's, you know, being, you know, of course, Hallmark is shoving Mother's Day down your throat.
Yeah.
You know, leading up to it, and then you see people walking down the street with their mothers going to church or whatever. And I went to the market that morning, and I was just like, I didn't want to feel down about things. And I was just thinking about her, about my mom. And I saw this little old woman. She seemed like she was by herself, and just this little old woman, and she had all these groceries, whatever. And I just decided, I didn't even know what her situation was, but she was by herself, and she seemed elderly, like she had to do this by herself, so like she had to. And so I just decided to just pay for her groceries. And I was like, That's my tradition is I want to just take care of, do a random act of kindness. And I told the clerk not to tell her, just please, you know, just put it on my card. And she did. And I just hope to, like, I want to do something. I want to start a new tradition of just giving to some random woman who I think possibly, I feel like, you know, I mean, women are the mothers of the earth, so it's some random woman, because she represents motherhood to me.
Yeah.
So that's my goal, and that makes me feel good, and it makes me, and it's like a little gift in honor of my mom, so that's what I'm celebrating this year.
Oh, yeah. It's so beautiful. What was your mom's name? What was her first
name? My mom's name was Edith. Edith.
Aww.
Yeah.
You know, you called her Edie?
They called her Edie. She was so sweet, yeah.
Ugh. Well, you know, it's so fascinating because my mother is still living and my grandmother, her mother is still living. My grandmother is literally a handful of months away from turning 100 and is all there, like mind, body, and spirit all there. It's crazy. Yeah. So I always get cards and flowers for my grandmother and also my mother. But I love that tradition that you have. Yeah. And I know one of our other co-host Alexandra Billings, you know, she was had a huge relationship with her mom, as one would with you. If you come out to your mother, you tell your mother you have AIDS, and you also tell your mother you're changing your sex. You and your mom have gone through a lot. And she always says, you know, no matter what age you are, and when you lose your mother, you become the orphan, you know, that you've always thought. And it's a huge thing, no matter what your relationship to your mom
is. And no one ever really prepares you. There's no way to really prepare for that. And that's one of those things, I think, in life that you're not told, like, about that transition and what happens actually in that transition.
Yeah.
And how, just how you view your own mortality. You know, I just recently lost my mother's last sister. So I have no more aunts on my mother's side. And that really affected me, and I was like, wow, and I have one uncle left on my mother's side, so it just really bumps me up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then I'm next in line, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and it also just causes you to step on out, too, which is what I see you doing in that action that you're taking of kind of paying for the love and the nurturing and the aspects of mothering somebody, even if it's just in one gesture.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think most gay men are closer to their mothers and most lesbians are closer to their fathers? Is that a truth, or is that...
I wonder, because I was the closest one to my siblings. Well, I think they would agree that I was the closest to my mother, that we were closer. We had a bond, a very specific closer bond. And I don't know how... Women, I think women are, do you think women are closer to their dad or to their mothers? I don't know. I think women, I personally always believe that, just witnessing most female relationships, that mother-daughter relationships are always a little harder, regardless if they're gay or not. It's just always harder. It's like a mom had like three boys and one girl, and she had the most, you know, they had a best friendship with each other, but they also were each other's worst enemies.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But the boys, she was totally fine with, you know, especially with me. We were very, very close,
I don't know if parents push the children of the same gender harder because they see more of themselves in them, or they want to see more of themselves in them. I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder. I think a little bit of that, of wanting to, they see themselves in them in a way, you know? Yeah.
And I think, you know, as one of the beautiful things about my mom was when I came out to her, my father had a very, he was very conflicted about my sexuality and struggled with it. And my mother was just like immediate. After we finished having the family sit down, my mom and I walked off into a room and we had a little bit of a cry, but my mom was just so okay with it. And embrace the fact that there were always gay people, even though my dad said there didn't used to be gay people. And my mom was so funny. She's just such a steel magnolia. She's such a quiet, I mean, she can talk if she needs to. Definitely when she's telling me things I should be doing, she can talk quite a lot. And I love her because that's how she shows her love. But in the family, she's kind of the quiet, steely center, you know, and she was just like, you know, there were always gays, Amy. We just always knew they were there. I don't know what your daddy's talking about. And she's just been really lovely. And I was very terrified because my mom raised me to be a Southern debutante, which I was, and I was a ballerina, which I was, and she deferred her career to my father, and raised the family and took the stereotypical role, though my mother is extremely smart and intelligent and was, I think, highly ambitious up until her marriage. And my parents are still together and happily so. But I think for my mother, it was like, wow, this is a whole other avenue. And she's always supported it in a way that's always been really, really great.
Yeah.
So, you know, here's to moms. And for the moms and for the people who have moms that have struggled with your sexuality, I always think to people that I know, like when Queer as Folk came out, who felt like Sharon Gless was like the mom everybody wished they had as a gay person.
Yeah.
Or we can look to our friends' moms who have embraced us, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, my mom and my dad embraced me the moment I came out. They were so, even if they didn't understand it really, but they grew to understand. They want immediately, like my mother was, I was living in San Francisco and my mother flew out the following month because she just wanted to know what my life was like and what it was about. And then she found out that it was no different really than it was before. She just knew more facets of it. And, you know, and then she got to know my friends and she educated herself. She was a bit even more aware of things in politics and human rights. You know what I mean? She was more aware of, like, because she had a personal stake in it now.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, you know, look to our friends' moms and look to, you know, I think there's so much love and love from mothers, you know, and I think sometimes it just takes, I mean, I think my mother still did struggle with, every so often she would just wonder, you know, well, really still? Do you still want kids? And I'm like, oh yeah, I want kids, you know. But I think they still, I don't know, personally, I just knew that my mother, she just wanted everything to be, for me to be, for life, for everything in life to be okay for me.
Yeah.
And want me to have any hardships in terms of like, or any painful experiences with someone not liking me for because of that, you know?
Yeah.
So just being protective and loving, so on. Yeah. I think a lot of times the fear is because they're just more fearful that, you know, that you won't be hurt.
Yeah. You know? And that you won't be living your best life. And but you know what? They gave us life, and now it's what we do with it. And today's show, Courtney Parks is going to be on, who is a life coach, talking to us about how you can live your fullest and best life. And I don't care who you are, this show is for you, because we can always be doing things better, be more aware, and living our best life. So we're going to break for some news, and we'll come back with Coleman Domingo. And later in the show, our life coach is going to be here to give us a session.
Hi there, I'm Proud FM's Deb Pierce, Toronto's official queer respondent. I'll be keeping you plugged into what's hot in Toronto this summer. Toronto's patio season is upon us, and that means Pride Week isn't that far away. Come join me and a million other people for Unified the week of June 20th to 29th. It promises to be one of the best prides ever, with headliner Sandra Bernhard and Spice Girl Melanie C already confirmed to perform. Look for me in Chicago on Friday, June 13th at Gay Idol at Circuit Nightclub. Visit www.torontotourism.com to find out why you should be heading to Toronto this summer. Hope to see you soon.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
A Memphis high school principal is getting heat from the ACLU for allegedly outing two gay students who were romantically involved. Attorneys claim that the school official violated the students' rights to privacy when she posted the names of the gay couple, which was shown to teachers, staff, fellow classmates, and their parents. The two students say that they have had to deal with an onslaught of harassment since the outing. The principal had staff report known student couples, both straight and gay, to help reduce public displays of affection, PDA. The list was then publicly displayed.
The U.S. Presbyterian Church lifted a 2007 censure placed on retired lesbian minister Reverend Jane Adams Spar for conducting two same-sex unions in 2004 and 2005 because they were ceremonies, not marriages. According to the laws of the church, by definition, a same-sex ceremony is not and cannot be a marriage. One cannot characterize same-sex ceremonies as marriages for the purpose of disciplining a minister, the final ruling continued.
Openly gay Queen City Council candidate Charles Ober has been the target of an anti-gay flyer sent to a number of households. The flyer reads, "You need to know that one of the candidates is a faggot," and called him a pedophile, warning that if elected, neighborhoods would become Queerville, USA. Ober, a former board president of the local GLBT Center, held a news conference joined by his Republican opponent, who both spoke out against the personal attack and hate speech.
Australia's Attorney General announced that the new government plans to change more than 100 federal laws to eliminate discrimination of gay and lesbian couples and ensure that same-sex couples are treated equally under the law. The government, however, said it will not approve same-sex marriage by amending the Marriage Act. The laws that will be changed deal with issues such as taxation and pensions. The amendments will be introduced to Parliament next month.
A sculpture of historic gay icon Harvey Milk will be unveiled at the San Francisco City Hall on May 22nd. Milk, a gay rights activist and self-described mayor of Castro Street, was assassinated along with San Francisco Mayor George Moscone in City Hall in 1978 by a fellow council cityman, Dan White. For more, visit milkmemorial.org.
A man from the Greek island of Lesbos wants to stop a gay rights organization from using the term lesbian because a term now used to describe homosexual women disgraces the island's inhabitants. Publisher Dimitris Lambrou is seeking an injunction against the homosexual and lesbian community of Greece to change its name and stop using the term lesbian. The term lesbian originates from the woman-loving poet Sappho, who was from Lesbos.
Where else? Queer as folk hunk and bad boy Gail Harold, who played Brian Kenny, will be coming to Wisteria Lane. Harold will appear on the May 18th season finale of Desperate Housewives with the same charming, quick-witted personality, but more clothing as a buttoned-up suburbanite.
It is very likely that openly gay actor Sir Ian McKellen will reprise the role of Gandalf for Guillermo del Toro's two-movie adaptation of The Hobbit. McKellen played the role of the powerful and kind-hearted wizard in Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings trilogy. McKellen said that Del Toro, who also directed Pan's Labyrinth, has promised him the role, although no official announcements have been made yet. And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Nudist Colony Activity Coordinator.
Mr. Nudist Colony Activity Coordinator.
Wearing nothing but a whistle and a clipboard, you're living the real American dream. Getting paid to think up fun things to do, naked.
Running free.
Sure, there's danger. Vinyl chairs, sunburns, chafage, and lawn darts, completely out of the question.
Watch out!
Your keen instincts tell you to stick to activities that involve lots of bouncing and jiggling. And if that doesn't work, who cares? You're all naked.
It's your birthday.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, nudie boy. Because we all know, when the going gets tough, the tough get naked.
The nudist college activity coordinator.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
So, Coleman, we are going to be... I don't know. Will we get to see you? I hear that you are co-hosting the awards for Logo. Tell us about this.
Yeah, it's the first annual awards for Logo called the New Next Now Awards.
And I love New Next Now.
It's so cool, and they're going to have appearances by, like, apparently Janet Jackson is slated to, you know, to
Miss
be
Jackson,
there.
If you're nasty.
Yeah, and then people like Tila Tequila. And
she's
know,
still
like,
searching
many...
for a shot at love. Did you hear that?
She wears me out.
She's like she a hot mess, like Mariah.
She and Mariah should
hook up.
Out. She wears me out. But Tila Tequila's voice. But actually, she's acting a little bit better on the series now.
Yeah,
I'm calling it a series. It seems weird to call it a series because.
But New Next Now is all music videos, and what I love is that MTV doesn't show music videos anymore. So
no,
it's like so fantastic. It feels like 1985 again, and we're all watching music videos for the first time.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah.
And there's so many of them are queer artists. At least 50% to 60% are queer artists.
Yeah. So celebrating that, it's a really cool, interesting award ceremony that they're having. It's going to be shot right at the Teal TLR Studios.
Nice.
TRL. Listen to me, TLR. TRL Studios. And it'll be fun and intimate. And my co-host, my co-hostess is Miss Candace Kane from ABC's Dirty Sexy Money. Yeah.
Very good friend of the Queer Cast. We love Candace.
Fantastic. Yeah, we love Candace. I love me some Candace Kane. So we're hosting it together. It'll be cool. It'll be fun.
Well, give her a shout out and a big squeeze for me. When is this going to air, do you think? When are the awards?
Air on June 7th. It's going to air June 7th, and we're shooting it like in a couple weeks.
Kicking off Pride Month, June 7th. Well, hey, a new movie is out, and Richard Knight Jr. is going to tell us about it in our Movie Minute. It's called Then She Found Me with star of Vegas stage now, Bette Midler. And directing and also starring is Helen Hunt, my quarterback princess. Let's listen to Richard.
Let's go to
I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. It's a pleasure to report that Helen Hunt's directing debut, Then She Found Me, is as assured and oddly compelling as the material upon which it's based, the chick lit novel by Eleanor Lippman. It also offers Hunt and co-star Bette Midler their most satisfying parts in years. Hunt plays April Eppner, a grade school teacher whose husband Ben, played by cutie pie Matthew Broderick, still, announces that he wants out just as April decides that she wants to have a baby. Soon after, she's hit on by Frank, played by the dreamy Colin Firth, the father of one of her young pupils, and then discovers she's pregnant by either Frank or Ben. Then April's confronted by Bernice, beautifully played by Bette Midler, a local talk show hostess who informs April that she's her birth mother, that Steve McQueen was her father, and that she wants to be a part of her life again. The rest of the movie focuses on how April deals with all of these issues. That's a lot for one movie. After a slow start, stick with it. Then She Found Me takes on some of the same sweet, loopy tone of Waitress, and the story has a similar arc. It doesn't have the lush, dreamy look of Waitress or its sound, but it felt just as satisfying and chick flick fanatic that I am, even though you're not supposed to use that term anymore. I found it just about irresistible. But why, oh why, didn't they write a song for Bette to sing over the end credits? That would have put me over the edge. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Hi, this is Candace Kane, and I'd like to say gorgeous, and thanks a lot for listening to Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of May 5th, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Hell in a Handbag Productions proudly presents the Jeff-nominated Chicago premiere of the camptacular Die, Mommy, Die, a tale of glamour, murder, and the importance of family by Charles Bush. Playing now at the Bailiwick Theater, 1229 West Belmont. Windy City Times says it's pure camp heaven. So go to handbagproductions.org for tickets.
American Theater Company presents Speech and Debate, the story of three high school misfits who team up to expose their teachers' online secrets by forming their school's first Speech and Debate Club. This timely comedy is Ugly Betty Meets Election, exploring queer life in high school and hypocrisy in public life. The Tribune says it is exceptionally stimulating and word perfect about teens. Playing through May 18th, for tickets to Speech and Debate, visit atcweb.org.
Looking Glass Theater Company presents Around the World in 80 Days. This world premiere adventure follows Phileas Fogg as he races around the globe to save his fortune. Looking Glass Theater is in the historic Water Tower Works on Michigan Avenue. For tickets to Around the World in 80 Days, visit lookingglasstheater.org.
Laughter is truly the best medicine when Julian moves in with his ex-wife and her new husband to recuperate from an illness in the world premiere of Better Late. This new comedy from the writer of MASH and the creator of ABC's Dirty Sexy Money plays at Northlight Theater extended through May 18th with an all-star cast, including John Mahoney and Mike Nussbaum. For tickets for Better Late, visit northlight.org.
For more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
Broadway's Tony-winning smash hit musical Avenue Q is for you.
If you've ever put out the garbage.
If you've ever put out.
If you're in the closet.
If your friend's in the closet.
If your coat's in the closet.
If you're in college.
If you wish you were back in college.
If you're a Democrat.
A Republican.
A Scientologist.
A gynecologist.
If you're a potty mouth.
If you're a potty animal.
If you want a Tony Award-winning Broadway musical with something for everyone.
Avenue Q is for you.
May 27th through June 7th at the Cadillac Palace Theater. Visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Mother, can you hold me together? It's so dark and I'm losing my way. I took all of these detours to find love. When I did, it just faded away. Now what do with this sweet love of mine? Do I give it away and hope someday I'll find someone half as awake as the moon and the stars? Mother, teach me to love with a paper thin heart.
Well, perhaps you have always thought you needed someone to help direct your life, coach you through the big decisions. But how do you find that person? What we would call a life coach. Well, Courtney Parks is a certified professional coach with a background in psychotherapy, with a master's degree in counseling psychology from Northwestern University right here in Chicago, Evanston to be exact. And Courtney and I are just hanging out here at the Kopi Cafe, which is the Traveler's Cafe in Andersonville, which is the North neighborhood in Chicago. For those of you who don't live here, it's definitely called the Traveler's Cafe because there's wonderful art from around the world and lots of sounds and lots of people. And but this is a journey. You know, we're traveling through our lives. Like, how do we do it? And sometimes we need help along the road. So, Courtney, I'm thrilled to have you on the podcast. When I told my partner I'm just going to have a life coach on, she's like, you know, so-and-so has a life coach and somebody else I know has a life coach. And maybe we need a life coach. So
see, it's popular. Maybe we do.
So what is a life coach?
Okay. In a nutshell, a life coach is someone that helps you to look at the way your life is now, figure out how you want your life to be, kind of create a vision of how you want your life to be, what would be the best possible scenario, and then actually support you and challenge you to get there. So, like, take you through the steps to actually making it happen.
So what is the difference between a life coach then and a therapist? Is it about goals? Is it about the specificity of transitions maybe people are going through their life?
Yeah, I mean, since I used to be a therapist, I know a bit about this, and I have a therapist and I have a coach, so I get to experience kind of both worlds. But therapy is really, in my opinion, it's looking a bit more at your history and what are the things that kind of are getting in the way of you being able to move forward in your life. And for a lot of people, they need to be able to go back and kind of dig deep and figure out where things need to be healed in themselves in order to be able to move forward. Coaching really is, where are you now and where do you want to be? And how do you just really focus on getting there? So there's several people we're still dealing with. It's not like I don't deal with, you know, people's stumbling blocks or places where they get stuck. And for some people, when they get really stuck, I need to refer them to a therapist, or they need to do some work with a therapist in order to kind of deal with whatever might be keeping them there from their history. But in coaching, we're kind of just looking at wherever those stuck places are and saying, okay, how do you want to do it differently? And how do you get to choose how to do it differently now? And again, for some people, they're able to do that, and it's just a breeze, and we get to do things really experientially. So it's another big difference probably between coaching and therapy, is that therapy is a bit more, in most cases, is a bit more talking-focused and kind of processing and figuring things out. Coaching is, you're talking about things, but it's really action-oriented. So I look at it as, like, how do you grow experientially?
So, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by experiential?
Well, for example, I will coach someone on a particular topic during a session. At the end of the session, it's like, okay, so what's your homework? What are you going to do around this. So we might be coaching. I mean, we could be coaching on anything. How to develop trust in a relationship. And so their homework might be, you know, I'm going to sit down and have a really important conversation with my partner, you know, this week about how I'm feeling. Or it could be, I'm going to make 10 phone calls to, you know, employers about getting a new job. Or it could be, I'm going to say no to every request that people make of me because I need to take care of myself this week. So it's very, there's always something at the end of each session that kind of co-actively or collaboratively myself and the clients decides upon. It's going to be their focus, their homework. Sometimes it could be several things, sometimes it could be one thing. And then when they come back, the next session, first thing we do is check in. How did things go with your homework? So it's regular set accountability as part of coaching, which is always like the benefit, including for me as a client. You know, sometimes I'll get on the phone with my coach and I'll say, she'll say, how did things go with your homework? I'm like, well, I just did it, you know, an hour ago. And she's like, oh, the value of a coach, meaning, you know, that you actually have someone that, I look at it as like, I care about what happens to people. I will hold them accountable, not in a chastising way. If they don't do it, my question just is, what did you learn? And what did you learn from not doing it? Do you still want to do it? Okay, so what are you going to commit to for next time? So it's really helping people to stay focused on, again, their goals or even ways of being, and actually how do you make that real in your life as opposed to just talking about it and thinking about it.
So what are the areas in which you can help a person? Do they range from the professional to the personal to the spiritual? I don't know. What areas?
Yeah. I coach, I do whole life coaching, so it means career, relationships, money, health, spiritual, personal development, all those areas. So any client that I'm working with, we can talk about any of those things. What I specialize in is helping women to do what they love for work, basically. Do what they're passionate about, figure out what that is, get connected with it, and either start a business, change careers, maybe write a book, but find a way that they can actually make money doing what they love.
Do most people know what they want?
I think so, yeah. At some level, they do. I think a lot of people know and are really nervous about what it would mean. There's so many, like, again, belief systems, fears that show up for people to really go for what they want. So I find that most people know, but sometimes the coaching will spend, you know, some time really kind of getting to what it is that's most significant for you, and then how would we actually make that into a job, a career, you know, what direction do you go to with it?
Well, because I would imagine that most people get really blocked. I mean, there are probably these things that block an individual. What are the things that just really stump us and muddy our waters, muddy our vision, paralyze us to where we aren't living, as Oprah said, our best life or whatever?
Right. I'd say, like, it's all encapsulated just with fear. It's, you know, and that shows up in lots of different forms for people. So, you know, a lot of people have a lot of belief systems that, you know, oh, I can't do that because, you know, I don't have the right credentials. People are not going to take me seriously. I've never done anything like this before. What are people going to, you know? So there's a lot of, like, things I call, I mean, in our coaching program, we call it gremlins. It's like the little voice that shows up going, like, what's wrong with you? Who the hell do you think you are to try to do this? And so a lot of what I work with people is getting, like, over themselves in terms of, okay, not necessarily fighting with those parts of themselves, but just having them really try things out. If people need to take baby steps, they will. I really challenge people to do big things as soon as possible and just get engaged in the process and see what happens. For most people, when they're able to make an action or take a step in whatever direction it is they want to go in, and they find that they survived, you know, they lived through it,
right.
And people did take them seriously, or they did do whatever it is. It's so empowering to people that they're like, okay, what's next?
So do you set, like, long-term goals and that people can see kind of the ladder and the progression to get to the main goal?
Yep. So what we do is when I start with a client, we spend, I have them fill out paperwork in advance to get to know them a little bit better, have them answer questions, and come up with what's kind of the primary focus areas that you want to work within this coaching. Then we sit down, we do an hour and a half session where we are just kind of getting to know one another, understanding, designing our relationship, how are we best going to work together, and really how, what is it that you want out of the coaching relationship. So we always have that kind of as a benchmark. And I refer to that and I'll bring people back to it. Like, okay, so one of the things you brought up at the beginning was you wanted this and that hasn't shown up. Is that still important for you? What do you want around it? I mean, things can change and things certainly do change as I continue to work with people. But what's most important is that we kind of, again, as coaching clients, stay clear on what it is the person wants.
Do some people want... Or maybe they don't want it. Do you coach differently? Like sometimes you have to be that tough love coach,
oh, yeah.
And sometimes you can tell that the client really just needs to constantly be kind of stroked and empowered with positivity.
Yeah. Absolutely. One of the things that I do, we call it designing our alliance. So it's like I sit down with the client at the beginning, and obviously this changes and we learn as we go along. But I say, like, how do you want me to coach you? Like, if I could be the best possible coach for you, what would work? Like, what works for you? Some people say, do not talk down to me. Or not that I would, but, you know, like,
yeah.
These are the things that don't work.
I would tell
clearly.
You to talk
yeah.
down to me. I work really well being demeaned.
Well,
seriously. I mean, if I feel like I've done something wrong,
right.
I'll, like, step it up.
Right. So, yeah, some
you
people
think I'm
say,
kidding. The people yeah. who listen to this know I'm not. I'm that sick and warped.
Some people, like, really say, be very direct with me. I want you to be really, really, and I tend to be regardless. I mean, that's kind of my style. But some people will say, okay, if you're going to criticize me, if you're going to tell me I'm doing something wrong, do it gently. Or, you know, or I'll say, how do you like to be supported? Like, I'm also really loving, you know, as a coach. It's like I'm challenging and loving people through the whole process. So everyone's different. And I, you know, again, we talk about it in advance, and then I just kind of learn what works and what doesn't. And I will be very upfront with people and say, is this not working for you? I want you to tell me if it's not. But, yeah, I have to, for most people, they've hired me so that I will, in a loving way, hold them to task and be there to say, okay, you're letting yourself down here, or that's what it feels like. What do you want? What are you learning? What do you need in order to make this happen for yourself?
Well, and I think there's an objectivity that you help along with the discipline. I mean, this
yeah.
is what I'm hearing from having somebody, you know, coach you through. Talk to me about how you work with a client. Is it always face-to-face? Is it on a weekly basis? Can you do this? We have podcast listeners all around the world.
Yep.
Can you coach people who are not in Chicago or the Chicago area?
Yep. I do most of my work by phone, actually. So, and I do some work face-to-face. It kind of depends on the individual and if I can kind of arrange it to be, you know, that way. But most of the work I do over the phone. When I first started learning how to coach, I was like, I'm not going to coach people by phone. You know, how will I ever make a connection? And I have to be able to see people's expressions. The people in the program that trained me, I went to a great program, got my certification through them. They were like, you just have to try it. You just try it and see what happens. It is amazing to me what I can pick up on the other end of a telephone. And it's also the other nice thing that I've heard a lot from clients is that clients tend to be sometimes less self-conscious. They're just more focused on what's going on with them because they're not looking at what my reaction is. They still know I'm there. It's very interactive, like we're talking right now.
And you maybe don't feel quite as naked or vulnerable.
Exactly, because I'm not, like, staring at you as
yeah.
you're doing it. So it works really well. So, yeah, I've worked with clients. I work with a lot of local clients, and I've worked with clients, you know, throughout the country. There are coaches that work with clients internationally, but I've worked with people in San Francisco, Atlanta, you know, lots of different places, and have had... I think at this point I've met every single client, but there are some coaches who've never met their clients.
Kind of like a guru.
Exactly.
They just kind of exist,
yeah.
and
they
we follow a guru
world.
Of
right.
which we've never seen or met.
Right, right, exactly.
We go to their ashram and
yeah.
they're not even there.
Right. They do get to talk to me, so.
Yeah, exactly. So talk to me about, you know, you said that you specialize in helping women find out what they're passionate about and,
yeah.
and really excel in that.
Yeah.
Is there a difference, you think, in working with women and men and definitely working with the gay community, with gay men? Or lesbian women?
Right. I currently work exclusively with women, which is was kind of a big deal for me to claim that and say that I only work with women. I chose to do that not because I don't love working with men. I actually love working with men. I love coaching men, and I have in the past. I would say that men, for me, like, it's real, like, again, just different personalities. It depends on the individual, obviously, but they really, you know, they're very direct and just like, boom, 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 let's go. You know, I mean, stereotype, but it's kind of true. Working with women, I choose to work with women.
That's why we're more challenging, because we can't be fucking direct to save
right.
our sorry
that's
souls.
Right. Although I work with a lot of women that are very direct.
Well, that lesbian women, I think, can be more direct and more assertive, and maybe
Absolutely.
Just because we are really trying to let you know who we are, and
exactly.
we try to do that, and trying
yep.
to come to terms with being gay women and walking
Absolutely.
Through the world that way.
Absolutely, right. So
that's why we have so many straight women friends.
Exactly.
That usually want to make out with us
right.
in our 20s. But it's okay, because we're clear and direct.
Right.
And that's kind of like appealing to them, I
it
think.
Is.
Potentially.
Exactly. And yeah, I work with straight women, I work with gay women, and it's like, I don't necessarily find a huge difference. It's probably differences more in personality, but yeah, I mean, you know, and particularly in working with lesbians, I want people to know that they can be working with me. They can feel comfortable fully being who they are, talking about whatever the heck they want to talk about. No judgment. I get it. Not that I get their experience or their life entirely, but I get it from the fact that I'm a lesbian. And so that's really what I want most, is like whoever it is that I'm working with to be able to feel like they're understood, they're not being questioned. And then I'm there to provide, you know, a safe environment, a challenging environment, you know, whatever it is that they need from me.
So how do people get started with this process? I mean, if they're looking for a life coach, and maybe it's going to be you, and they're going to find out
yeah.
exactly how to find you at CourtneyParks.com.
Yes, thank
you.
We'll
have that linked on our website. But, you know, what should they be kind of looking for? Do you interview a life coach in
yeah.
the same way you interview a therapist?
Absolutely.
And especially for our guy listeners, since
yeah.
you're unavailable.
Absolutely.
And that's
Absolutely.
Probably okay. Many gay men might want a gay man mm-hmm. to be their life coach for the same
yep.
reason, maybe that they would understand the experience or you know, in many ways, I think sometimes we want to a physician of a certain gender based on our gender.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Although
yeah.
I have a male OBGYN and I like my gynae guy.
Right.
That's what I say. But
He's
I had
okay.
it took me a while to get to him and it was an right. accident. Now I just stay
right.
with him because
right.
I like him.
Yeah.
But you know, I think definitely mm-hmm. men and women have that kind of gender divide sometimes with healthcare
sure.
and social
sure.
Work or psychological work or this kind of coaching.
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone needs to make their choice based on what makes them feel comfortable. And even if I talk to someone, do a consultation or, you know, it's like my goal is to get the person to the best possible person for them. And if I am not that, I do not want to work with them. And I've said that to people several times. Like, if there doesn't seem to be a fit on their end or my end, or it doesn't feel like I can help them in the way that they need it, I'm like, let me give you referrals. I have a huge referral network. I'm very connected in the coaching community. A lot of friends and colleagues that I refer to. So I do that regularly, and they to me.
So people could contact you through your website, and you could refer a great
Absolutely.
Male coach if they needed
Absolutely.
That. Or wanted a
great,
face-to-face
yep.
coach in a different city, or maybe some
yep.
resources. Because you can't quite go to the Yellow Pages and
no.
push your finger down
no.
it and go life coach. And
nope.
It's not after, like, I don't know what would be close to that, lifeguards.
Right.
Lifeguards,
something like that.
I don't know.
Right. Yeah, there's
lumber.
A couple,
it's probably all yeah. in the same L section of the Yellow Pages.
Exactly. Yeah, I would recommend, like, in terms of people just kind of looking for resources, the ICF, which is the International Coach Federation, they are like the governing body of all coaching programs, and they have kind of like a find a coach section. Also, CTI, which is the Coaches Training Institute. That's a program that I trained with, I got my certification through. They are also a great, great, great organization, and they also have a find a coach kind of connection. What you do is you get to kind of do a checklist of all the types of things you might be looking for, what type of issues you want to work with, you know, whether you're doing career, relationships, spiritual, whatever it might be, what type of fee you're looking to pay, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And you kind of do a checklist, and then they will bring up coaches that might fit your needs.
So just so we keep it, we make it really personal here at the end, give me, with, of course, keeping all anonymity,
right.
give me, like, you know, two or three different people that you coached.
Mm-hmm.
I came to you, Courtney, for X,
yeah.
and kind of what that looked like, whether you're to your goal or where you happen
mm-hmm.
to be. Give
mm-hmm.
me a couple of examples just so people can maybe identify, okay, I really understand
yeah.
that more
what
now.
That means, right. Let's see. Okay, well, I heard from a client recently who I finished with just a few months ago, and she, like, I worked with her for 6 months, so a fairly short amount of time. I asked people for a six-month commitment, but we did just a 6 months. She literally transformed herself during these 6 months. Her focus was, she was not incredibly shy, but a little bit more withdrawn, and she was finding that, like, whether it be in social relationships or particularly professional relationships, that she needed to learn how to network and get out there. By the end of our time together, she would go to a conference. She would walk in, just walk up to people. She every time I spoke to her after she went to kind of an event where she needed to do this, she was on the biggest high. And I just said to her, it was like, I use her as an example because it was like I just needed to kind of give her like the slightest little push and set it up so there were situations where she could thrive in, talk to her about her fears around it, and she just went and she did it. And the more she did it, the better she got at it. I just heard from her recently, and she's like, you're not going to believe what I did. You know, yeah. I went to Canada.
Life exploded.
Exactly. Life exploded. So that's one person. I've worked with several people around, you know, who are in business, like myself on their own, who are saying, you know, I'm trying to, you know, it's not really going, it's not really working, I'm not excited about it. So to help them really define what it is that they want to be doing in their business. So I have a client who's like a stylist, kind of an image consultant, and it was something she's really good at, but she wasn't really focusing on that in her business. As soon as she started focusing on that, it's like everything took off. She was so excited about what she was doing all the time. She started off with friends of hers and said, let's try this. I want to add this new service to my business. And then she just totally developed it. She's doing incredibly. And again, 6 months' time, completely transformed her business.
What about relationships? Because obviously a lot of people listening to podcasts, you know, are probably, it's a great, nice place to have community, maybe not venture into getting in a relationship, commitment issues, or you're in a relationship and something's not right.
Yeah. I work a lot with people's relationships, like regardless whether they're business or personal relationships. In terms of personal relationships, probably the biggest thing is, helping people to get into new relationships. And how do you go and do that? How do you, like, put yourself out there? Who do you want to be? Who, like, really getting clear about who are you looking for? What do you deserve? So it's kind of that deeper level stuff that can get in the way of people being able to find what they want. Had a client who just, you know, we talked about this for a long time. She felt like, I'm never going to get where I want to go. I'm never going to find the right person. We worked and we worked. She found a wonderful, wonderful man who she's so happy with. I mean, within, you know, like, they've been together maybe a year and they're already talking about getting married. And I'm like, oh, my God. So it's fantastic. But also the other thing I work a lot with women is keeping even just social connections, friendships. How do you negotiate that stuff? You know, how do you trust, you know, it's a lot of pieces where people feel like they, you know, end up feeling they don't quite know how to deal with things, again, almost in a direct way, in a way that has them feel comfortable. So I talk to people about, how do you get to do this? How do you get to negotiate this relationship, whether it be with your partner, your spouse, your friend, in a way that's really loving, warm, and wonderful, but still asking for what you need? So one of the things particularly about women is that, you know, I mean, stereotype but true often. We don't know how to ask for what we need and get what we want. And it's okay to be direct. It's okay to share that you're hurt. And how do you do that in a way that maintains the relationship? Because I think a lot of times women, again, get really focused on, I have to keep the connection. And, you know, they're so worried about risking things in relationship, whether it be, again, with a spouse or a friend, that they end up holding back. And so I'm really about, like, how do you have healthy, healthy relationships? And that's a really tough thing. And I work very hard on that myself, with myself and my own personal relationships with my partner. We've been together for 16 years.
Wow.
And it's like, boy, do I know what it's like. I practice what I preach 100%. I know what it's like to deal with all the fear and all the shit that shows up in relationships.
And you probably go home at night and go, wow, at least I'm not as bad as that one. Like, at least we're better than that, sweetie.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to tell her what it is, but you know. So you're like, I got it pretty good.
Exactly. Or sometimes it's the other way around.
No, or you just see that everybody's kind of the same.
Everyone's
all kind of are struggling with the same.
Yep. Everyone wants to be loved. Everyone wants to be able to, like, be appreciated. A lot of what I say to people is, like, if you need someone to tell you something, ask for it. Let them know that you need to have some support. How do you ask people for support? How do you do that? So many people, again, are so uncomfortable or don't even think of it that way. They've never even considered the perspective of, like, I really need validation. So I'm like, let the person know you need validation. You know what? They may or may not be able to give it back to you. But if you can't ask for it, it's like you are responsible within your relationship. Enough of this, like, they're not giving me what I want, or it's not working, or they this, or they that.
Martyring and self-pity place. You're not going to get what you want from that anyhow.
Right, right. Yeah, or cutting off. And, you know, and the nice thing about the coaching relationship is, while it's, you know, certainly a professional relationship, I use what happens in the relationship with the client. And I'm like, here's what I'm noticing about how you're being with me. Is that something that shows up for you? So they get to safely talk about that with me. They get to hear feedback from me of what it feels like. When you do this, this is how it feels. It has me want to pull away from you. Mm. So whether or not that's showing up for them, usually it is. It's like we get to kind of transform that. And then they also get to have an experience of someone who's not judging them on the other end, who's like, okay, I'm willing to talk to you about this. And it's not going to ruin the relationship. I'm with you no matter what. They get to practice, you know, sometimes they'll do role playing, or at least we'll say, you know, if they're going to have either a difficult conversation or a negotiation or whatever it be with someone that's important for them, their family members, you know, partner, spouse, whatever it might be, it's like we get to say, okay, how do you want to present it? What do you really want to say? And the interesting thing is that they can always tell me what they want to say. They have a harder time actually saying it to them. A lot of times people don't think to actually say that. Like, you can just be really transparent and say, you know what I need from you is this, or this is really hurtful for me, or I'm worried that if I tell you this, you're going to be mad at me. Like, just say that. Like, it's all they can describe it. But a lot of times people don't get that that's actually how you go in and you can communicate with people, and that's a healthy way to do it.
Is there any life coaching that's for couples? I mean, I know you talk about the difference in therapy, and that people would go to therapy and then maybe after a while you might have a session, or you go to a different therapist for couples counseling, so it seems neutral, like it's not I'm going to your therapist to have a couples session. Does that enter into life coaching?
Absolutely. There is, actually tomorrow I'm going to a workshop for a program which is, like, they call it relationship systems coaching. And so it's any type of relationship. It can be friendship relationships. It can be partner-spouse relationship. It can be business relationships, teams, that type of thing. But what they do is they teach coaches about how to work with systems and how to work with groups and how to work with people. So I have a very good friend who's done that program, several people that I know have done that program. So, yeah, just like couples counseling, there's couples coaching. And coaching is all about how are you moving the relationship forward. And what it does is it really looks at the relationship as like its own entity. What does the relationship need here? What does the relationship want? Like, it's beyond the two individual people. So same exact thing, and then how do you negotiate that? So I'm not necessarily trained in that, nor that's what I do, but it's a really wonderful, I've had some exposure to it, and it's really interesting and cool work.
Well, it's a wonderful option for people if that's kind of where... You know, sometimes it is more like making personal decisions, I'm hearing, but it also may be an interactive, like how you're in relationship with a family member or a business partner or a partner.
Right.
So it's very fascinating. Well, look, folks, how is it best for people to reach you? If they want to reach you, and for the men, I know you will guide them gently.
I will.
Gently along life's travels and journeys and path to another great life coach.
My website is the best way to reach me, www.courtneyparks.com. So it's CourtneyParks.com. And that'll have my contact information, my phone number, my email, and it also shows... If people are in the Chicago area, upcoming events, we're going to be doing some great workshops and teleclasses coming up, so they can join me and meet me in person.
That would be fantastic. And hey, folks, if you've been thinking that, like, there's a change you need to make, or something feels unsettled in your life, or you've been thinking about a new job, or the relationship's not working, check out putting a life coach by your side and in the seat next to you and walking this path with you. CourtneyParks.com is how you reach Courtney, and maybe she can assist you in finding somebody else, especially for our guys out there. I know you all are out there.
Don't worry, I'll help you.
Love spending some time with you here in the Kopi Cafe, and hoping people come to Chicago, they will check out the Kopi because it's a great place to have a cup of tea and feel like life is just relaxed and kick and that you can do anything in this little place. We're sitting on pillows on the ground, on low tables, having lovely tea. So, hey, folks, we'll be back, but check out the website, and we'll have it linked. And, Courtney, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Amy. I really appreciate it.
Hi, this is Valerie Smaldone, and I'm backstage at the Royal George Theater watching the multi-talented Mark Nadler and his new show, Russian on the Side, a zany 90-minute song and dance journey. It's a laugh-out-loud night at the theater. Don't miss the performer Rex Reed calls a combination of Danny Kaye and all the Marx Brothers put together, Russian on the Side, the pre-Broadway engagement, April 22nd through June 15th only at the Royal George Theater. Tickets available at all Ticketmaster outlets, online at Ticketmaster.com, or by phone at 312-902-1500. Call now!
Coleman, it has been so great having you on today.
Thank you so much. It's been always my pleasure, Amy. Thank you so much.
Do you feel like you've learned some life coach lessons? I mean, is this something you can take with you?
I think so, absolutely. I think she has some really wonderful things to say. And I think everyone can take something away with it. And I think it's fantastic.
Well, you know, because we all need a little coaching. None of us want to feel like we're doing it alone, right? That's just so hard.
Absolutely. Yeah, even, you know, just to hear some words that maybe have comfort to someone who you never know, you have a friend in need or trouble or thinking about these things. You've got someone who, you know, you've got a word to share.
That's yeah. Good. Well, yeah. And I also hope some people who are feeling like they want to try something new or they need to fix some things in their relationship, it's just so great that you can actually work with somebody in a way. What I love about Courtney is it's not like therapy. There's so many action steps, and then you're accountable, which is really makes change in one's life, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very healthy. Extremely healthy. Be proactive in your life when it comes to those things. That's great.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of the gay therapist, are you a fan of the Grey's Anatomy?
You know what? Shockingly enough, I'm not. I'm not. The last TV show I was addicted to was Sex and the City, but I'm never around to watch Grey's Anatomy, apparently.
Movie is coming up for Sex and the City.
So excited, May 28th. Yes. I'll be there.
Are you predicting that it's going to be great?
Oh, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. I just know it is. They will not fail. They will not fail.
Did you see them? You're living in New York City while they were filming this. Did you hear about Sex and the City filming?
I heard about filming happening in different areas, but they're very, very covert in a way. They get in and out very quickly. You know, I feel like that's the thing about New York. There's always film shooting everywhere, but it happens at, you know, so many different times of the day or late at night that they get in and out in a very stealth way, you know?
Yeah. So if...
Because New Yorkers need their streets. They need their streets and their pace, you know?
Yeah. So if New York is the fifth girl in Sex and the City, which is she's defined, and if you had one night in New York... Or let's give yourself a full day in New York City, what would Coleman say you should do? You start off the morning, what do you do?
I would say you should definitely go to Pastis for some breakfast and some really good croissants.
Where's that?
But Pastis is down in the Meatpacking District.
Excellent.
And it's so good and so tasty. And such, the atmosphere is very French cafe. And then I would say go for a walk by the river. Mm-hmm. I'd say walk by, you know, on the west side, walk by the river and just... And I would do things like, I think the things you must do is like, you know, rollerblade in Central Park at sundown. It's kind of beautiful. It's great. And just watching all these New Yorkers and it's kind of quiet and people are running or they're speed walking or whatever. But everyone's just really finding time to really relax and chill and hang out in that nature. And I would say another thing to do is you would definitely need to go see a wonderful show like August Osage County, you know, which has a lot of, you know, great Chicago talent. All the Steppenwolf people are out here doing that. So
brilliant show.
Brilliant show. I would say go watch August Osage County or go see Passing Strange and come see me. And then I would say another thing you definitely have to do See, in New York, for me, the best things for me to do is to go outside and be around, like usually Central Park, or by the, or hang out by the water. That's the things I do. Like every week, I do it at least 2-3 times a week. Yeah.
And there's nothing like Times Square, right? If you go to a Broadway show, you just kind of have to walk around it before or after the show just to kind of be in that heartbeat.
Yeah, a little bit. It's good to do that just a little bit because otherwise, yeah. I mean, but just know you need time for that because otherwise the tourists will drive you crazy.
Right.
The tourists are the only ones moving really slow. And New Yorkers are walking in the street trying to get through, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's a, yeah, and definitely just... There's so many great places to eat. Just, you know, go find yourself some really good food somewhere and an outdoor cafe at night and just have some wine and just people watch. People watching is the best in New York, I think, than anywhere in the world.
And it's the city that never sleeps because seriously, even in Chicago, after 10 or 11, you're hard-pressed to find a place to eat. And New York people are just getting started and clubs are open all late and all night, so...
Oh yeah!
I think you should have been. I think you should have been the sixth woman in Sex and the City.
I am the sixth woman in Sex and the City. whether I'm on that screen or not, I am the sixth woman in Sex and the City.
You're the sixth sister, is what you are.
Yes, righteous sister.
Well, I can't wait to hear what you think of the film because you'll be on with us in June again.
Yeah,
and we'll get your review. Don't let me forget to ask what you thought of it.
Absolutely.
Coleman, enjoy the springtime in New York.
I sure will. I'll take care of my allergies, and I will see you guys soon.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.